This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte, and we are talking now with Lake County Sheriff Oscar Martinez Jr. about activities within the Lake County Sheriff's Department. And Sheriff Martinez, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us here. I'm company here with my Commander of Special Operations, Jim Stahl, and it's great to be on the air.
Well, thank you both. And let's first talk about some of the new items, new technology that you happen to have at the Sheriff's Department to try to fight off imported crime, I guess is the way it's put it here, and including the nine vehicles and what hopes will be the new patrol boat.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have a specialized type of vehicles that are high-performance vehicles. These vehicles are targeted a lot by criminals because of their high performance to commit crimes, to commit snatch and grabs, and other crimes. So they're the Dodge Charger Hellcats and the Trackhawks and the SRTs and Challengers. And they are high performance. That's a regular Dodge Charger police cars. It's very difficult for them to keep up in a pursuit on a felony stop when pursuing these individuals. So we did get nine high-performance vehicles that our officers are going to be specialized, have specialized training in those vehicles because they are high performance, mm-hmm. And still have the regular training that all the other officers have where they can initiate a pit maneuver, which is the precision immobilization technique where we're able to stop a vehicle from fleeing or rolling roadblock. And also we have stop sticks that we use to try to terminate the pursuit as quick and safe as possible.
I know the stop sticks have been a long-hand tool for years to be able to help stop people from getting away in a chase or something like that. Is this something that's advanced beyond what it has been as far as stopping vehicles concerned?
Well, what we have done is purchase more. So right now we have every patrol unit that's on the road does have stop sticks. We're also working with other agencies as a mutual aid to assist them with these devices, and especially agencies that are near the border, like Dyer or Hammond or Highland or Munster, mm-hmm. Where we will loan some of these stop sticks to them. So since they're right at the border, we have had an uptick of pursuits and crime coming from the other side and fleeing back to the Illinois state line. Now, I just want to make something clear. I mean, we have our own, issues of crime here, and we're aware of that, but we have seen an uptick of vehicles fleeing into Illinois within the past few years.
Do we find that that when officers have to stop a vehicle during a chase of some type, and especially if it's a chase that's maybe have started in Illinois and comes into Indiana, that officers here in Indiana have obviously an advantage in being able to pursue a vehicle in a chase that maybe the folks in Illinois don't have?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll go ahead and turn that over to my commander, Stahl, Special Operations.
Mm-hmm. One of the blessings that we've had that Sheriff Martinez has been able to provide us with all this technology, the vehicles, the stop sticks, statistically, the longer a pursuit continues, the higher the likelihood that somebody can be injured during that pursuit, right? So our goal at the Sheriff's Department is to terminate that pursuit as soon as possible, whether that being using the rolling roadblocks, like the sheriff had said, or using the stop sticks. So our goal is to stop the pursuit as quickly as we possibly can so no one else gets hurt. That's what we're trying to do. Now, again, our prosecutors here in Lake County, they are 100% behind us. And with our current standard operating procedures that we have through the Sheriff's Department, we are able to pursue. And like I said, our goal is to stop the pursuit, get these guys into custody, and get them into jail so no one else can be hurt.
Have you had any cases recently where you've been able to take advantage of the, especially the license plate readers, to help track down stolen vehicles and help in turn keep the chases to a minimum?
Yes, absolutely, and that does help out. The one thing I have to hand it to, I know Hammond has really gotten on top of this, in like Munster and other agencies, Griffith, just to name a few, that started implementing these license plate readers. I know Hammond had a lot of success with those license plate readers throughout the city, and we started a phase one with about 30 cameras throughout the county, and we're on phase two, so it'll be a total of nearly 70 cameras throughout the county. And it does detect stolen vehicles, but it does a lot more. It also detects individuals that may be wanted on a warrant, those that may be registered sex offenders, and we have cameras strategically placed around schools or parks. And it does pick up anomalies where if a vehicle is constantly driving around a park and it's a registered sex offender, it will give us an alert. Also, for if there's a bank robbery or a robbery that took place and we have at least a partial description of the vehicle, we're able to input that information in the LPR, license plate reader, software, and it will give us, you know, as long as we know around the time, date, approximate time and date, it will give us a list of those vehicles that cross those cameras.
Bring us up to date, if you will, gentlemen, as to the situation concerning the need for a new patrol boat. And I think people probably realize that there are sheriff's department boats out there, and they've helped out in a lot of cases. But the boats need to be replaced. And tell us more about the new ones that you're going to replace with.
Absolutely. The boat that we have currently right now, it's nearly 30 years old, and things age. Just like your own car, when you purchase a car, you start having problems with it. I mean, who really owns a vehicle unless you're going to make it an antique, you know, over 30 years? And things just need to get replaced. And new technology comes out, the wear and tear of the vehicle, of the boat, and it's time for a replacement, and that's the main boat. It's about close to it's about 38 feet. That's the main patrol boat that's out there. We're out there, you know, all day and even at night when we go out there. So it routinely patrols Lake Michigan, and we know how rough Lake Michigan can get. We assist with inspections. We also do water rescues where we assist those that have either a fire or a motor that goes out on the boat and starts drifting towards the break walls. We also tow a lot of boats that break down out there that call out for a distress assistance. And also recovery of evidence and also drownings. And we've been pretty successful in recovering, unfortunately, you know, those loved ones that pass away, mm-hmm. and bring closure to the family and recovering those bodies. So our patrol unit do a lot of patrol and calls of services out there. And it's time for a new boat. It has new technology where it does sonar. It does the side moving of the boat with the joysticks. We assist Homeland Security, BP Amoco, the steel mills for any type of terrorist attacks on those facilities, because we know those are hot targets. So it is time for a new boat. We've had that for over or close to 30 years. And just like anything else, equipment, wear and tear, new technology, we have to replace those items. And that's coming out of the public safety fund. That's what it's meant for, that fund, for public safety equipment.
Will you bring us up to date right now as to how the situation is coming along and trying to get many guns off the street? Many of these guns, unfortunately, have been coming from Indiana, or at least reportedly did so, and went into Illinois and the Chicago area, and they've unfortunately been involved in crimes over there. How's the effort coming along and trying to get guns off the street these days?
This is Jim Stahl again. I apologize. We have a high crime unit, and their main focus is really to take these illegal weapons that are being possessed by, you know, felons or were illegally purchased off of the street. And I mean, this year alone, they've had an overwhelming success at doing that. And it's not just weapons that are sold here in Indiana. The weapons are coming in from other states as well. Illinois, we've recovered guns from Georgia, Texas, California. So it's, you know, we just seem to be a nice little hub here in Northwest Indiana where it's easy for them to traffic the guns from and to Illinois. We just we technically refer to it as a pipeline here of the activity that is going from the north to the south and east to the west.
Well, you bring us up to date, too, on the efforts to try to stop scammers from not only taking money from Lake County residents, but causing some problems with residents as well. And we're talking about victims of crimes in this case. But how can citizens be safe against carjackings and home invasions these days?
Well, the vehicle carjackings, that's a really good question. So there's a lot that people can actually do to help protect themselves. Number one is don't leave the keys in your vehicle and don't leave your vehicle running. I know it's really easy. You know, you hop out at the gas station, go in the morning to get your newspaper or your coffee. You leave your car running. Well, these suspects, that's what they look for. They're waiting for you to leave your car unlocked. They're going to jump in and they're going to drive off. Or, you know, we're starting to get into the cold weather periods. You know, people will walk outside, they'll warm up their cars in the morning. And again, these criminals are actively driving around waiting for those, you know, people who are just wanting to warm up their car, and they're going to jump in and take your vehicle. Now, along with that, making sure that you secure your firearms inside your house at nighttime. Don't leave them in the car. A lot of the weapons thefts that we have, unfortunately, come from people who think that they live in safe neighborhoods and they can leave their weapons and their purses and their cell phones and their wallets inside their car. And these suspects, they know they come over, again, from Illinois a good amount of time. They'll walk through neighborhoods in the middle of the night just checking to see if doors are unlocked. If the door's unlocked, they take anything worth of value out of the car. And, you know, you don't even know it till the next day. Unfortunately, you know, your gun and your purse are gone. So really, really, we try to get out there to everybody that, you know, take your guns inside and lock up your cars. Don't leave your keys inside just because, you know, you think you might live in a pretty safe neighborhood.
Finally, if we may, let's talk about the problem of scammers as far as the sheriff's department is concerned. I understand that there's a number of scammers that have been out there and are still out there, apparently, pretending to be Lake County police officers, and they have a new racket going. Will you tell us about that and what citizens should know to protect themselves?
Yes, number one, you should never, ever give any information of financial information to anybody over the phone, regardless of who they say they are. That's never done. If I were them, if somebody calls and claims they're part of the sheriff's department or any police department, get their name, get their information, and tell them that that you will call them back. And call them back from an actual Lake County Sheriff's Department number. And we never, ever take money over the phone. When we go do fundraisers or things like that for the sheriff's department, we never, ever take money over the phone. So that's something you need to be aware of. Never give out your financial information over the phone to anyone. And if you have any questions and you do want to donate, call the actual police department and get more information on it. And when we do get information on scammers, we also put out alerts in reference to those type of scams.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for spending time talking about the issues that affect the Lake County Sheriff's Department the most and how they are taking advantage of new equipment, new technology to help combat crime here in the region. And we hope to have you back on again soon to talk again. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Absolutely. Have a great day, and thanks for having us.
You're welcome. That's Lake County Sheriff Oscar Martinez Jr., along with his Commander of Special Operations, Jim Stahl. And you're listening to Regionally Speaking on listener-supported Lakeshore Public Radio. The 11th anniversary Gary International Black Film Festival gets underway very soon, and so it turns out to be one of Gary's hometown cultural events that seems to bring everybody together, at least to take a look at some interesting films, and that's the case again this year. With us to talk about it, Toni Simpson. She's a board member. She's also a manager and one of the creators of the Gary International Black Film Festival. And Toni, thank you for joining us on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Thank you guys for having me.
Well, we know this is not only a hometown cultural event, and it's a community builder, but it's also one that brings together some interesting films from all sorts of people, about all sorts of films. Will you first tell us a little bit about some of the ideas about creating the film festival, and in turn, how you hope that the audience will come away from the event?
First of all, again, thank you so much for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
Our founder and director, Karen Turing, which is a native of Gary, Indiana, but she's out of Seattle. Once she graduated from Purdue, West Lafayette, she found the love of her life, and they moved to the West Coast, and she's been in Seattle ever since then. But she came home 11 years ago to care for her dad. And, you know, sadly enough, he did pass right before the festival got started. And so we always keep a front row seat when we were in person. And now this year we're doing a hybrid. We always keep a front row seat vacant for him, her dad, Mr. Taurine. So, I'm sorry, Mr. Blevins. Mm-hmm. Taurine is her marriage name. And so she had this idea, you know, as a festival promoter out in Seattle, and she, along with five other friends, one which happened to be, which the world now knows as Miss Ava DuVernay, they had this idea about, and it was under her original Affirm, now it's Array, to showcase independent film by people of color, you know, and this is one of six festivals that they, you know, started, you know, one other being Black Star out of Philadelphia, like I mentioned, Seattle, and then the one here in Gary, Indiana. And there are three others that are escaping me right now. But because we recognized in Gary we did not have movie houses, what a great opportunity it was to be able to bring, you know, such rich film that even movie houses would not have ordinarily had a chance to, you know, see. So we've been at this now for 11 years, and it has now become a hometown favorite, and, you know, it's the cultural event of the season. So, yeah, I may have lost the other question there, but we have been so fortunate to have many, many people. We've done data and demographics just coming from all throughout the Midwest and even traveling up to our festival from other parts of the country. And as we've grown, we're seeing more and more, because of COVID and being online, we're seeing such a huge interest in our festival, mm-hmm. even more today.
Tony, do you think that because of the fact that there aren't many movie houses in the city of Gary, at least not now, when you all created the International Black Film Festival 11 years ago, do you think that that is why that you have all the businesses, the small businesses in particular, in the city of Gary so closely involved in this, and that kind of makes the whole process better?
Absolutely. You know, I love pioneering. And everything old is new again. And it's a new beginning for the city of Gary. And I'm really excited to be a part of this new beginning as we are moving towards, you know, more community-enriched, you know, gatherings and programming. I think it's a great start. And I'm just proud that we're at the foundation of this new start, mm-hmm. of reimagining Gary, if you will.
Let's talk about Deon Taylor, who's a writer, a producer, a director. He's also the co-CEO of a Rising Media production distribution company. And I guess he's the official celebrity host for this 11th annual event, isn't he?
He absolutely is. And I'm really, really excited about this. This has been 11 years in the making. Deon and I have been talking, you know, for 11 years now and trying to bring him home. You know, this is his home, you know, his father, his family, his siblings, you know, they are here. And so timing is everything. And he is so excited and putting his entire machine this year, if you will, behind shining the spotlight on this, as he puts it, an underserved community in this arena. Mm-hmm. Because there are so many Garyites that are in the film industry, not just in behind the camera, but as well as in front of the camera. And so this year, he's excited. We are hosting, along with the city of Gary, a Deon Taylor Day. He's to be presented with the keys to the city. He's going to announce a fellowship opportunity here under, you know, Hidden Empire and Gary International, Hidden Empire Film Group, mm-hmm. and Gary International Black Film Festival. So that's going to be exciting news to hear as well on the 8th. He's just really excited about coming here. He's like he says, it's not about me, meaning himself. And he keeps stressing that, but he recognizes the vast and rich talent and contribution that citizens out of Gary, not just now, but over the years, have contributed worldwide with the most famous being the Jackson family and Michael Jackson, of course. Mm-hmm. But there are so many others. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And we are hoping that we're going to be able to shine an even greater spotlight in that arena as well.
I understand for the festival itself, they have quite a few very interesting films, narrative, documentary, feature-length films and all. And one in particular, which is the opening night film, is titled The Woodstock of House, The Untold Story of Chicago House Music. Will you tell us a little about that film?
Oh, we're excited about that. And as we're working to bring in those DJs that help create this platform, when you think about house music, everyone's like, where did that term come from? Well, that's a term when everything had to go underground. And in Chicago, there was a place called the Warehouse, where most of that music was played. And people would be there from, you know, 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. It was like an underground type of thing. Mm-hmm. And the chosen few DJs, which some of them will be here on site for opening night, red carpet night, have been able to create this this culture, if you will, of followers that have spread all over the country. And everyone's like, where did this come from? And it was originated right here in the Midwest and, of course, in Chicago. You know, people like to say we're latent twins, Chicago and Gary. But, yeah. And so we're excited about that entire documentary, that which gives the entire history of how this came to be. For our Sunday night closing is our awards night ceremony, and we will be featuring the Grammy Award-winning Sounds of Blackness in-studio questions and virtual, you know, with the audience as well. So, yes, and the drive-in on Saturday. Please come out to Indiana University Northwest. We will be showing a horror film that night, and it will be a drive-in experience.
Now, unfortunately, we don't have as much time as we probably need to go through all of the films. But if anyone is, if anyone's interested in finding out the whole bill for the upcoming Gary International Black Film Festival, where can they find it?
We're on all major platforms. They can find us on Facebook, you know, Gary Black Film Fest, Instagram, you know, Gary Black Film Fest, Twitter, Gary Black Film. And YouTube, our Gary International Black Film Festival YouTube channel. Tickets and passes, of course, they can get them online. We will have certain locations where those that still like the physical ticket will be able to access that as well. And you're able, we're under GoElEvent, ELEVENT.com / GIBFF. For your ticket.
Toni Simpson is the manager, and she's also a board member and one of the co-creators of the Gary International Film Festival. It's the 11th annual film festival coming up here with the opening night events happening at the Art House, the Social Kitchen in downtown Gary on Friday, October 8th. Toni, thank you very much for telling us all about this year's Black Film Festival, and hope there's a great crowd as always, but certainly it's a great benefit to help businesses in the city of Gary and all of Northwest Indiana for that matter. And thank you very much for the opportunity to find out more about this year's film festival. Toni Simpson, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. The GEO Foundation has altered the trajectory of impoverished high school students to succeed in college through its innovative college immersion program. Inside Indiana business host Gary Dick gets some insight on some new initiatives from president and founder Kevin Teasley.
Well, for nearly 25 years, the Indianapolis-based GEO Foundation has served as somewhat of a lifeline for impoverished students to succeed in college. GEO, it stands for Greater Education Opportunities, was founded in 1998. Since then, the nonprofit has grown to support a network of seven academies in Gary, Indianapolis, also Baton Rouge, Louisiana, serving some 3,500 predominantly African-American and low-income students. GEO recently received more than $8 million in grant money from the state, launched a first-of-its-kind online academy, and doubled enrollment at its Next Generation High School in Indianapolis. And with more on the GEO Foundation's mission and momentum, pleased to be joined by founder and superintendent Kevin Teasley. Kevin, as always, welcome to the program.
Gary, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I ticked off some recent growth and really some interesting developments. Give us the model, if you will. Again, 23 years in the making. What is GEO all about?
Sure. The mission is to break the back of poverty, and we do that through quality education, and we tend to be non-traditional. And when I say non-traditional, our high schools are where we really see the non-traditional model take flight, let's say, in the sense that if you go to any of our high schools, our students have all the same opportunities that you see at many of the what I would call destination high schools, Carmel, Zionsville, Avon, Plainfield. All of these are really great high schools, and they're pretty much destination. You can go there and get anything and everything you want. At our schools, we look at our schools as a launching pad. In other words, we want you to come to our school, but because the student population we serve really doesn't have the college experience in their home and the college going attitude, et cetera, we need to convince them that they are indeed college capable. Mm-hmm. And we don't do that by doing traditional things, by keeping them on our campus to learn math, science, et cetera. We take them to Ivy Tech or IUPUI or IU Northwest or Purdue Northwest so that they take real college classes while they are in high school and on the college campus. Yeah. And so that they're getting a real experience from a college professor sitting next to students that don't look like them, aren't the same age as them. And so they become more college acclimated and ready to go to college.
Yeah, and the proof is in the pudding, you could say. Next Generation High School, the Meadows neighborhood near Northeast Side, challenging neighborhood. That high school has seen enrollment double.
Yes, it's not only doubled in enrollment, it's doubled in enrollment in students going to college. Every year we test our students at the beginning of the school year to make sure that they're college capable. And if they are college capable, that's a unique thing that we do. Even ninth graders take this test. If they're college capable, we enroll them in college level courses. So in our first year at Next Gen Indy, we had 30 to 40% of our students taking real college courses. They earned 12 to 15 college credits their first year. We're talking about freshmen in high school. And the goal is for them to earn a full associate degree before they graduate from high school.
Yep. I want to get to this. I mentioned the $8.5 million grant to really enhance those college and career readiness programs. Also, a first of its kind online on campus K-12 school. Now, this is new. What is this all about?
Geo Focus Academy. Of course, we saw the pandemic last year. Everybody went virtual, right? So what we're trying to do, again, is be a little non-traditional. K-12 virtual schools have existed for over 20 years. What we don't see is the opportunity for someone taking a virtual school and when they get into high school, being able to take an on-campus college course. And so we're blending what we do in our charter school with a virtual school. And this is going to be statewide. Any student in the state of Indiana that wants to enroll can. And when they get to the high school age, they'll have the opportunity to go to any of 60 universities and colleges in the state of Indiana for free, part of the tuition that we charge.
Some amazing momentum at GEO Academies, the GEO Foundation, the organization's president, Kevin Teasley. Kevin, congratulations on these developments. I know there'll be a lot more ahead. We'll look forward to following the story.
Thank you very much.
That was Inside Indiana Business host Gary Dick speaking with GEO Foundation founder and president Kevin Teasley. I'm Chris Nolte, and our thanks today to our guests, Lake County Sheriff Oscar Martinez and his commander for special operations, Jim Stahl, and with Tony Simpson, who is with the Gary International Black Film Festival, and for our other conversations as well, including Inside Indiana Business host Gary Dick and his guest, GEO Foundation founder and president Kevin Teasley. I'm Chris Nolte. Thank you for being with us today and this week, and we'll be back with you on Monday.